So you know what I did this past weekend that was really strange? And I didn't even imagine that I would be this person, but I am.
Oh, boy.
So Jennifer Hudson, she's in the new Aretha Franklin movie called Respect, right?
Yes, completely. Like, you know, embodies the role.
Yeah. Now, I have been waiting for this movie to come out because I really did want to see it. Like, I'm a fan of Jennifer Hudson. Mm-hmm. I think she's a beautiful singer. I have a lot of respect for Aretha Franklin. Why wouldn't I go see it?
Sure.
But I assumed that they would do like everybody else, where it would be in theaters and then they would stream it on one of the streaming services.
They didn't do that?
No, it's in theaters only. So now, all of a sudden, on Friday, I go, wait a minute. Like, I had big plans tonight to get home, put the kids to bed.
Right.
And like, pay the $29.99 or whatever it was going to be to watch the movie with my husband.
It's interesting because I've seen the movie promoted a whole lot. Like, I know that, believe it or not, National Geographic had some sort of documentary on the making of it or whatever. There's been a big run up to the film. You would think it would be available everywhere right away.
No, it's old school. How about the fact that we call it released only in theaters old school?
Right.
How funny is that?
Yeah.
So I was like, eh. I don't want to go to a movie theater to see it. I'll wait for it to come out.
And wow.
Yeah. And I thought about it. I go, I can't believe that I've reached a point where if there was a movie I wanted to see,
right,
I'd rather not go see it than like have to go make the time to sit in a theater. And it makes me sad, too, because I was thinking about it. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the Jungle Cruise movie came out?
Yeah, you watched that at home. So that's what I was going to say next is, I mean, is it because of the type of movie it is? Like, it's not big explosions or huge, you know, CGI effects or anything like that. But Jungle Cruise was those things.
Yeah.
And you watched that at home.
Right. I paid $30. That movie was terrible. I even knew when I paid $30 to watch the Jungle Cruise, the Disney Plus movie, that I was going to think it was terrible. And then as I was watching it and I was confirming in my mind it was terrible, I still paid the $30.
Right.
But the movie that I want to see with an artist I have a ton of respect for, an icon, I can't drag myself to a theater anymore.
I think that there is a grand experiment going on with that right now, because over this past weekend, there was multiple films that did that where they were like theaters only. I think Ryan Reynolds got a new movie or something too. It's theaters only. And that's, I think, a Disney movie, and it could have been on both platforms.
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird, huh? Maybe they're looking at the numbers and trying to figure out what next year is going to look like, maybe.
It's really interesting. What if, like, just from now on, everything is released on both? What does that do to movie theaters?
Bye-bye. Sad, but the last time I went to one, stale popcorn wasn't pulling it off.
My popcorn was stale, too, last time I went. What's up with that?
Can't make it fresh because of COVID, man.
That can't be real.
And they tossed me a bag of nachos and the cheese was in a ramekin. I can't do it.
No, we have to fix that. Why is it trending? It's the top three things that are trending from over the weekend, and why? Up first, Bob Saget. Raven, why do you think Bob Saget is trending?
I don't know. I hope he didn't get canceled. He's kind of been saying crazy things his whole career.
Yep. So Bob Saget from Full House, people know him as Danny Tanner from Full House, but he's actually a stand-up comedian, and what he does is very, very raunchy. But he's been blocking people left and right on Twitter. And people are like, hey, why does he keep blocking us? And he had to issue an apology saying that he apologizes to all the people he's blocked over the years. He can only let positive stuff in. And if he could block himself, he would.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And now people are trying to instigate him so that he will block them.
Oh, good.
Have you ever blocked anybody?
You know, I don't take any time to maintain any of that stuff. I welcome everybody. I'm the opposite guy. I'm the guy who, even if you're a jerk, you're probably on my friend list.
It's true.
And the fact is I've had people say, why are you friends with this person? And the fact is, I don't even know that I'm friends with them. So there's that. So no, I'm not normally the blocker.
Second thing that's trending over the weekend was Uncut Gems. Any idea why?
I don't know. What did Adam Sandler do?
So the movie Uncut Gems has been voted as the most stressful movie of all time.
I actually have heard that.
Yeah, here's a clip from it.
Is it too late? I'm done. That means nothing. It meant nothing. Please. Give me another shot.
So the movie, I guess he makes a bunch of terrible decisions throughout the entire thing, but it sparked the conversation.
The gambling guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. The conversation online was, what is the most stressful movie that you've ever watched?
Oh my gosh, that's easy for me.
What is it?
Remember I came in here and I told you about Free Solo, the movie where it's a documentary where the guy is climbing El Capitan. I sweat the entire time on my couch. Here's a clip, actually.
It's over now.
So here's the thing. There's not a lot of talking once he starts climbing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You heard his feet move on El Capitan. Just listen more. You hear them move on it. That's his foot. That's his little. And then there's a bird you hear chirp.
Okay.
And the bird is not off in the distance. The bird is like startled that he just walked upon its nest on the side of a hill, a mountain that's like 4,000 feet tall. And by the way, he's doing it with no ropes. He's just up there with powder on his hands.
I watched Free Solo because you made me watch Free Solo.
Oh my God, I was sick.
I know. Raven was so consumed with it. I watched it. I was like,
I was sweating on the edge of my couch. I was holding onto my couch like it was a lifeboat. It was terrible.
I think the most stressful movie for me was...
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
I just could not believe...
The first time Scream?
You saw Scream, like the first 5 minutes. I'm like, they going to kill Drew Barrymore in the
you
first five
it.
Movies in the minutes of this movie? And like seeing the guy outside looking in at her, for me, was so stressful.
As soon as they killed Drew Barrymore, you knew that it wasn't safe.
Right.
You knew that this was not like every other movie you had predicted to go to. Okay.
And the third big thing trending from over the weekend is Jimmy Carter. Raven, why do you think Jimmy Carter was trending?
I don't know. He's not in Afghanistan, is he?
No.
Let's hope that he's home safe.
Well, yes, he's safe. If he's home, people immediately assume that something terrible happened to him. He's 100% fine. The debate is about whether he was the best president of all time, which is a debate you're never going to win because everybody has different viewpoints. The bigger debate that they should have been arguing about, who has the best hair of all time if you're a president?
gosh, Reagan would be a good choice, wouldn't he?
I think it'd be between Reagan.
He had solid hair.
JFK. Or
wait a minute.
Yeah, and Andrew Jackson because his hair was luscious.
Well... Like George Washington, too. I mean, you never see him in a bad photo, his hair.
Yeah. That's the debate we should have been having.
That makes a lot more sense.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, on the text line, if you blow your horn at the car in front of you the nanosecond the light changes to green, that's all I need to know about you.
Here's the thing, though, all right? Because clearly you're the person who's probably in the car that is getting beeped at, and that's why you're complaining, and so you're hurt about it or whatever. How do you know? Because you weren't looking at the light, so you don't know how long it was. Could have been forever. And then you drive through under the light, so you have no idea whether they have 2 seconds. I was at a light the other day. Tried not to be the person that hit the horn. Guess what ended up happening?
You sat through the light.
I had to sit through the next light there because that person took off at the last second when they saw it go yellow to red. They didn't care about the traffic at that point, and they didn't care about me.
You have to give a solid 5 seconds. So you
no.
Have to count.
Five Mississippi, four Mississippi, three Mississippi, two Mississippi, one Mississippi.
But then you can't go
beep.
You got to do the beep, beep.
No, you're crazy. Five seconds is like a third of the cycle through most lights.
That's not true.
It's absolutely 100% true. It's absolutely 100% true. You don't understand what 5 seconds is.
Well, it's one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
And that's a lifetime.
Okay.
That's a lifetime when you get a bit somewhere. If you're the person that at a party, every time a raffle number is called out, you go, got it, when you don't actually ever got it. That's all I need to know about you. Like, listen, the joke works one time for one person at the party.
Yep.
Certainly not for various people and definitely not for one person to do over and over and over again. By the third or fourth time, the fact is that we should just take your tickets and confiscate them at that point.
That also works at bingo. When somebody
yells,
just kidding, guys.
Yeah, just kidding. Okay, that was funny one time.
I already threw away my board. I didn't think you were kidding. I didn't think it was funny.
The fact is that the person that actually ends up winning that item when the number is really called and you said it again in front of theirs, they feel like taking your stuff and throwing it on the floor. And they'd be right to do so.
Who do you think is the most annoying person at a party?
It's hard to say. That person's up there.
Mm-hmm.
The person that's the complainer that always talks about what it is that they would do. Oh, you see what they did over there? Well, I would have done this. I can't believe this is all they did for this, and I would have had that. That person I can't stand.
Yeah.
Also, the overeager volunteer who lets you know how long they've been there. I've been here since 9 a.m. I've been here since yesterday at 9 p.m. I've been like, what is that? Like, nobody cares. All right, where's the keg? That's all.
My favorite is the person that always wants to show you things on their phone. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
they're like, oh, wait a minute. Let me show you something. And they can never find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they take out their phone.
You're right.
And it's like 10 minutes they're scrolling through
the
pictures.
It's true. They can never find it. Here's this. They'll show you five other things, but you're just like, let me walk away now.
I want you to hear this song. You got to hear this song. All right. And then the next thing you know, it's 3 minutes later. They're like, wait, no, I swear. It's right here.
Oh, man.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. For about a week and a half, our bosses have wanted us to do this viral TikTok challenge where you eat honey, and I did not understand what the big deal was about.
I mean, for grown men, it's kind of unnatural, right? How excited they get about these things, to tell you the truth.
So we were like, eh, and we've been having this frozen honey in the freezer here at work for like a week, but we kept pushing it off. But then over the weekend, this started trending.
New this morning, doctors warn against another new trend on TikTok. People are freezing honey and then they're squirting a large amount into their mouths. You say, whoop-de-doo. Well, by eating large quantities, doctors say it has the potential to cause major gastrointestinal distress.
I mean, that requires a news update. Breaking news. Oh my gosh. Right. This is going on. That's unbelievable.
Whoop-de-doo.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Whoop-de-doo.
Wait, the fact
so
that...
So wait, you ate a bunch of honey and you got the farts and that's a problem. And it's a national news story now.
Oh my gosh, it goes on.
Our bodies aren't meant to handle that amount of sugar. One TikTok user admitted after doing the challenge she had a very urgent desire to go to the bathroom.
That's good.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
One more time.
Thanks, Nancy Reagan.
Don't do it.
Wow.
So now that we've learned that we're not supposed to do this challenge.
Yeah, now we're in.
Yeah.
Now let's do it.
Right, here
right.
We are.
Now I'm excited.
I'm like, well, how long will it take before I violently get ill? But don't worry. We're going to put this right on TikTok. Now, here's the thing about freezing honey.
Mm.
It never actually fully freezes.
Right. I was wondering that when you handed it to me, because how am I supposed to eat it?
So this has been in the freezer for legitimately 10 days at this point.
Yeah.
And it... Like, this is my plastic fork.
It is kind of tough. It's hard to get the spoon in it.
Yeah, it's almost like a gel. It's like a hard gel.
Yeah.
But let's take a big old...
I love the fact that if I was about to ingest pure sugar, like, my wife would give me half a teaspoon, but you have given me nearly half a pint.
Right. Well, we have to see what happens.
Anna's regard for me is really just if I survive through the end of the program, like, that's good enough for her. I don't actually have to live another 20 years. If I can make it till, you know... the end of the show, then we're good.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yep. Okay, ready?
Thanks.
Let's eat the frozen honey and let's see what happens.
Whoa.
I mean, I'll tell you this. It is delicious. It's yummy, right?
It's yummy, but it's hard to... Like, it's going to be hard to do our job like this.
Don't do it.
No, we did it. Too late, lady.
It's going to be hard to do our job like this.
You know what I didn't expect?
Right.
That after I had a big spoonful, I was going to go back for a second big spoonful.
Knowing that it could land you in the bathroom for the next, you know,
3 hours.
Days, I guess, and maybe the ER after. But I mean, if you just give me some sugar, I'm all in for it.
Yeah. All right. So we did it. I guess we'll report back if we're violently ill. You'll probably know because we'll no longer be on the air.
That's right.
At what age do you think you're old? Kevin Hart was interviewing Don Cheadle, and he had this reaction when he said he was 56 years old.
But at the same time, like I said, and me, you know, I'm 56 years old.
Damn!
I'm sorry. Because it was a thought. No, seriously. It was
dude,
a thought. It was
I'm
a
not,
thought, and I blurted it out.
I'm
I did
fine.
Not mean it that
I'm
way.
Not, I'm fine.
Okay.
A lot of people were thinking like it was a whole thing, like they were actually mad. Like Don Cheadle got mad about that, right?
Yeah, it's when I saw this today, it made me giggle because over the weekend I was having a conversation with my mom.
Mm.
So next week is my birthday,
right?
And I'm going to be 41 years old. And my mom looked at me. Here's the thing about my mom. She's from Italy. She doesn't like it's cut and dry with her.
There's no filter.
No.
Yeah, she doesn't care about your feelings.
She said, Anna, you got 4 more years, and then you're old.
Right.
And I said, what? She goes, well, everybody knows you're 45 is old, Anna. And I was like, 45? That's 45 is old? She goes, yep, it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because, like, what is old? And I know what you're thinking. Like, oh, it's nothing but a number. You're as young as you feel.
That's what you say until the moment you feel old.
Right.
And then the moment you feel old, you go, well, I'm old. Mm-hmm. And then you start saying I'm old in relation to everything you do.
So historically, the United Nations has defined an older person, anyone over 60 years old.
Okay. I didn't realize we turned to the UN for that information.
Uh-huh. And then there's something called the prospective age,
okay,
which is like the guideline for what's considered old. Mm-hmm. And that is 15 years less than your life expectancy. So. Isn't that sad?
It's unbelievable.
So in the USA, 78 years old is the life expectancy. So 63 is technically when you're old.
That's what they consider you to be old.
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds later, they'll let you retire after that.
Right. Maybe if you're good.
Yeah. I think perspective being the operative word, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, listen, when you're 10, 15, 20 years old, when you hear somebody say they're 40 or 45, they're ancient.
Yes.
Like they're old. You know, I mean, if you're 12 and you hear somebody say they're 30, you're like, wow.
I remember
you're old.
Being in high school.
Yeah.
And when like the college kids would come home and they would be able to drink, and I would think 22 was so old.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally old.
And now you think back on it and you're like, huh.
I remember being in high school and seeing like, you know, incoming kids coming like the years after me or whatever. And I remember the first time I saw somebody see class of 2000 and I was like, oh my God, that will never actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happened.
It happened.
A long time ago.
Remember I had a breakdown when I turned 30 years old.
Yes.
Remember that? I was like sobbing.
Side of the road.
I couldn't
no
breathe.
No idea what she had been doing with her life all
My
that
life
time.
My life was over. I was 30. And then I remember I had read an article about like women in communications and media like me. If you hadn't made it by the time you were 37 years old.
That was it.
It was it. And when I was 37, the minute my birthday, when I turned 38, I woke up and I cried. This is it. My life is over.
Sounds like the waterworks will be in effect coming up on Monday again. Because I don't think this is what it looks like when you made it.
No, I'm good. According to my mom, I've got 4 more years and then that's it.
Enjoy them.
Have you ever snuck out of your house? A guy noticed his son had snuck out, so he set up a trap. When he came home, it triggered the Ring camera, which turned on some lights and played this message on a smart speaker.
Hi, Jesse. Next time, just say you want to go out so you don't need to climb through a window with all your friends. I hope you had fun, were safe, and didn't crap your pants when I started talking.
Okay. All right.
What's worse, the fact that your parents caught you or the fact that your dad is the dork who read every instruction on the Ring and Alexa?
And knows how to do that.
Knows how
stuff.
To do that.
That, yeah.
All right, because I mean, I don't even know how to work my cell phone.
It's true.
The only thing I know about my Ring camera is press it on the app and I can look outside.
I remember having conversation with my girlfriends when our kids were really small, the older ones.
Yeah.
And we were saying how like they were never going to get anything by us because we were so smart.
Because you had done it all.
Because we did it all. We knew what to look out for. We would catch them. And now in retrospect, when I don't even can't figure out how to check her TikTok account, I'm like, no, wait.
But you realize too, though, when you get to this age, like your parents did the same thing. Like your parents were craftier than you thought. Like when we were younger, we felt like our parents didn't know, but they knew a bunch of stuff because they did stuff too.
See, I was always too afraid to ever sneak out of my house.
Like,
I was terrified of what would happen if I snuck out. Did you sneak out?
All the time. I had a sliding glass door. So, I mean, before my bedroom was even downstairs, and, you know, as the teenager, you get to move into the basement. It's kind of the rule, right?
Is it?
So, in my neighborhood anyways. So before that, before I even, you know, had a room downstairs, that we had a sliding glass door. And you could get out the sliding glass door, no problem. My parents' room was 2 floors above. Mm-hmm. So as long as you didn't come out screaming and yelling, you know, you would get away with it. No problem.
Did you ever get caught?
I did get caught once or twice, but the thing was, comparatively speaking to the other things that I was doing misbehaving, only the first time was a big deal.
Okay.
You know, the bigger thing that I got caught for was when they went away for July 4th, and then I burned the deck off the back of the house.
I could see where that would be problematic and you'd get in trouble for that.
After that, it seemed like, you know, sneaking out, they were like, fine.
They'd rather you leave.
Maybe not come back all those times, right?
I just texted my husband while you were saying that. Mental note, side note, never let the kids move to the basement, ever.
And it's a good rule to follow because the first few years I was good, but as those staircases got older, coming downstairs from upstairs, you couldn't get out the back door. You had to act like you were watching TV downstairs for a couple hours first. You know, there was a system to every bit of it. You know?
I guess so.
But no Ring cameras to contend with when I was at that age.
You're lucky. Is there something that you wear that whenever you put it on, your significant other, your partner looks at you and it's like, I love when you wear that, like a special dress or something special? 1-800-330-9999. Okay, Raven, I have a Mickey Mouse pajama, okay? And it's just like a tank dress Mickey Mouse pajama.
Yeah.
And I wear it to bed. I got it last time I went to Disney.
Oh, it definitely sounds like the definition of attractiveness.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. It's certainly nothing special. It's white and black. I bought it at the grocery store at Disney World.
Of course.
Not even in the gift shop. At the grocery store, because it was cheaper than the gift shops on site there.
Okay.
And the other day, my husband said to me, I just love when you wear that.
Really?
At first, I thought he was kidding.
Right.
Yeah, I rolled my eyes. He's like, no. He's like, I just love it. And I was like, really? And then I was slightly creeped out that my husband thinks my Mickey Mouse pajama's hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I get that. But sometimes it's the cut of something. It's surprisingly what it is that, you know, we find attractive. You know, listen, a married guy, grown men, right? You know, they always talk about lingerie or whatever. But the main thing that I like to see my wife in is a big T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could see her legs in a big T-shirt and have the illusion that she's not actually wearing shorts, I love my wife in that.
But 9 times out of 10, she definitely has shorts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. She'd be like, wait, what are we, weirdos?
Yeah.
I'll be like, this is our house. She'd be like, so? Somebody could knock on the door. And I'm like, and they'd have to get through the door to see what was going on in here.
So there's some things that make every list of things that always turn the partner on. There says, like, anything red. If a guy or a girl wears red, it's supposed to automatically be a turn on.
I never wear red because I feel like I'm going to get pulled over.
What?
You ever hear that about cars?
No.
They pull you over. I don't wear red because I feel like a lightning rod if I wear it.
No, I think if the car is red, it's more likely to get pulled over. Not if you're wearing a red shirt in the car.
Same process. Same thought process for a police officer.
Okay. Leather jackets are supposed to always be attractive.
All right. I've got a couple of those in the closet somewhere.
Bare shoulders. Well, you want to know where I think we went too far? Remember when the cold shoulder look was in, where it was like the cutoff where the sleeve was there, but just the shoulder came out?
Yes.
I never fully understood that. I'm like, now my shoulders are just cold.
I had a buddy wearing a sleeveless shirt this past week at a party, and I was like, no, man. No. Mm-hmm. No.
Jody wrote on our Facebook page, I love it when my husband wears hats. He used to wear a newsboy hat that I absolutely adored.
Newsboy hat? Is that one with the short brim? Is that what that is? Yeah. Okay.
I always want my husband to think I'm cute in hats because I love to wear hats. But every single time I put one on, he's like, oh, no, it's a hat day.
Because he knows it's a certain thing of your attitude, I'm guessing, is what it is. Like, oh, you're feeling that way today?
Oh, 1-800-330-9999. What's that piece of clothing that your partner wears that absolutely drives you crazy, even though technically it shouldn't?
Okay, so first of all, it's not really a clothing thing. It's a hair tie thing. I've known my guy since I'm 19. I'm 45 now. We lost track of each other. We got back together. Now we're getting married in 2 more months.
Great.
Oh, that's
fun. He's got really long hair. Yeah. He's got really long hair and a really big, thick, full beard. And so when he puts his hair in a hair tie, it's like a ponytail, and he puts like the hair tie halfway down his beard, it totally drives me crazy. I love it.
You love when your guy wears scrunchies. You're like, man, when he puts my scrunchies in his beard, there's nothing hotter than that.
It's not really a scrunchie. It's like a manly hair tie.
Yeah, whatever you say. Whatever you say. Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What piece of clothing on your partner is your weakness?
When my husband rolls up his sleeves, let me tell you, when I get to see all of those arms, his biceps, and it just makes me feel so good. And like, I just want to just put his arms all around me and comfort me and take care of me. And
all right.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Rolled up sleeves.
You like those?
No, I do think that guys' forearms are really attractive.
Yeah?
Yeah. You don't want them too skinny, that's for sure. They need to be strong. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What piece of clothing on your partner is your weakness?
My wife has this ski outfit. Everything matches on it. It's a very, very cute outfit that she has. It's almost all white. She's got a little white helmet that matches, these poofy mittens that go with it. It's very cute. And it's probably a terrible idea in the middle of the snow because I lose her constantly. But I don't want to because it's super cute.
She looks like a snowman.
It's that, hot snow bunny from Aspen thing going on there, right?
Yeah.
Could be Mariah Carey under all that fluff. We don't know.
Unfortunately, you lost her on the mountain, so.
Yeah, and I mean, if you wanted to feel her up, like, you'd have to get, like, 7 layers off, too. So, you know, there's that.
Mm.
But good luck. She is your wife. You could probably, you know, lock each other in a room together.
That's the plan.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What piece of clothing on your partner is your weakness?
So, my girlfriend is a nurse, and when she comes home in her scrubs, Yep, that does it. That does it for me.
I mean, it depends on the night of work, right? Because sometimes, you know, you're a nurse, things splatter, right? Sometimes, I mean, they're in the thick of it. They're in the trenches, Anna. And sometimes...
See, that's danger for me. That's right. That kicks it up a notch.
Oh, it's, God. Yeah,
it's like having a cop girlfriend, right? Like, you know, I get it. Utility belt. If she's got a stain on her, it's part of, like, the uniform look. It's like if she was a football player and she had grass stains on her.
Okay.
Wow.
This took a weird turn. All right, thank you.
Wow.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What piece of clothing on your partner is your weakness?
Oh, his construction boots. It's so unbelievably sexy. Like, they're just worn out, and they're muddy, and there's dry dirt. Super hot.
I feel like that's Magic Mike kind of stuff.
When I used to work construction, mm-hmm. I would love it when my girlfriend would put on my utility belt, my work belt. Like, you know what I mean? I'd have a belt where, like, you know, the hammer would go and, like, you know, your tape measure and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if she put that on.
No, I don't want to.
It was role-playing time.
Nope. I don't want to talk about
it. Oh, yeah.
No, it's going to make me feel yucky. Stop.
Oh, there's so many double entendres I could be throwing at you right now. I'm
okay.
Just going to let it lie over here, all
okay.
right?
Thank you.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood, say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet each day.
If you're not familiar with the Nextdoor app, it's a free app, and it's basically just all your neighbors, like truly localized, that post on it so you can know what's happening in your neighborhood. So what Raven and I like to do when we see ones that are especially crazy is have people around the office act them out.
One thing that I've noticed, Anna, is that, I mean, the crazy is still there. It's always been there, but the snarky is way up on people in the neighborhood. I don't know what's going on with it.
Oh, it's COVID.
It's turned into the new, like, Facebook in a way, right? It's gotten way snarkier.
All right, so we ask people around the office to act out the parts as it's written on the Nextdoor post. This is Mike Storas. He is the one that started this post, and it's titled... Wild animals.
I mean, you gave his full name. This guy is like my backyard.
Uh-huh.
Keep your cats in at night. There is a small opossum on my neighbor's lawn with its head missing. Last week, there was a rabbit near the senior center with its head missing. I have no idea what is doing this. Keep your cats in at night for their safety.
Oh.
I mean, that's terrible.
What?
Why am I giggling? Because I'm an animal lover, but that sounds terrible.
Something is eating animals' heads.
I mean, first off, it's not like you wouldn't notice if an animal was missing its head. You would see that and you would take note of that. And mentally, you would make a note.
Yeah.
But why do I feel like this person is out looking for headless animals? This is when a cop goes, you know, the person who said it, you got to look at them hard.
Bruce responds.
The coyotes have been out. I removed two headless rabbits from my yard. No idea if coyotes are the culprit. But we have seen them roaming.
This guy had two headless rabbits in his yard. How right. terrible
and
is that?
And didn't call anybody?
Yeah.
Call somebody, man.
Tracy responds.
Thank you for the warning. That is so scary and awful. My daughter has an outdoor-indoor cat, and I heard they eat over there, too. So scary.
What? There's just things out there that are eating animals' heads.
I guess so.
Mike chimes in.
My cat loves eating animal heads, so it could def be a cat doing it.
Wait.
What?
Wait, what's wrong with your cat? Why is your cat eating animal heads?
Sick, deranged cat that it is.
Isaac chimes in.
Most likely a bobcat. I've seen them eat the head first. Guess it is the higher fat content of the brain.
Wait a minute. No.
Wait.
No. No. Somebody look into Isaac.
Okay.
And let's move forward.
And you just sit there and you watch a bobcat eat the head. And how do you know?
And the bobcat lets you sit there and eat it while it ate? And
watch it while
you ate?
Yeah.
While it ate?
And why do you know that there's a higher fat content in the brain? How do you know that? How do you pick that up?
Wow. Wikipedia.
Gene says.
One day I went to use the hose in my front yard and there was a headless rodent by my hose. I had asked my neighbor to take him away from me. It was disgusting. That poor rabbit.
Oh, and then Jeffrey says,
Maybe these predators are becoming radicalized.
Oh, come on. There's always got to be
one of those.
Oh, come on.
But
Nextdoor app.
All ends with Mike saying,
is Ozzy in town for a concert?
Come on. That was a rumor. That was a rumor.
Skytrax has released their annual ranking of the world's best airports, and it's kind of the global benchmark of quality in the airport industry. It's like the Academy Awards, but for airports.
There are some pretty serious airports out there nowadays, man. The truth is that how would we really measure up? Probably not good.
So how it works is that they have these global airport satisfaction surveys that are given to people, and then they take these, and it's basically rated by the customers. There's a major problem with the top 10, though, but first, here are the top three airports in the entire world.
Okay.
Number three, it's Singapore Changi Airport.
I've seen that. The photos of that.
This is actually the first year it's not number one. It's been number one for, like, I think the last decade or something crazy like that. And it fell to number three.
Wow.
Number two is a Tokyo Haneda Airport. And number one is the Hamad International Airport in Doha, Qatar.
Do we have any of the highlights, or is it just paved with gold because it's Qatar?
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was, you know, looking over this. I'm looking at the top 10. I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I go, hey.
Yeah, where's America?
There are no American airports in the top 10.
Honestly, given my you know, last few flying experiences, I'm not shocked at all. But I mean, I still have some that I like better than others, but American airports, like, we leave a lot to be desired. Customer service being number one.
Well.
Number one. Yeah.
I got to say, going to the airport, I feel, is not always a very joyous experience.
Not at all. Like, it used to be, like, everybody is going somewhere great, and you're off to somewhere, or you're coming home, and it should be pleasant, right? For that very, you know, reason, there's kind of a buzz and electricity in the air. Now, like, it's always contentious. Like, there's some sort of confrontation or problem.
So if you had to say what were your top three things that make an airport fantastic, what would they be?
Well, I'll cite specific places. So I like Charlotte because it's got that piano area. I'm not sure if you've flown out of Charlotte anytime recently, but there's an area just where artists can play on this piano. And it's just like an open piano. And I mean, if you're a passenger, you can play on this piano. Now, they keep idiots away from the piano before you worry about that. They usually have some sort of actual artist there. And I love that. Plus, Chick-fil-A is there. And the Admiral's Club is really convenient for me, which is nice. Miami for the TGI Friday smoking bar when I was a smoker. That was crazy. And Vegas, that little slot room where you can also smoke inside while people watch you like a gerbil.
Yeah.
And then the Bahamas because it was the size of a closet. Literally didn't feel like an airport at all. You just pulled up out of the cab. They kind of roll your bags right onto the pavement right at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Customs is a joke. And then you're on the flight and you're gone. It feels like somebody's landing in somebody's backyard.
The number one thing that's important to me when it comes to airports, and you're going to roll your eyes, is, like, I like when they have good shopping there. Because I love to shop. First of all, I never get around to souvenirs when I'm actually at the destination.
Right.
So I'm the idiot that's the last minute frantically trying to find something for my mom at the airport.
Sure.
And if they've got a real good duty free, I mean, that'll stay with me forever.
This is the thing. Wow. I feel like duty free is a lie. When I mean, if it's anything but alcohol, I frankly don't know the prices or the quality enough.
Oh, I do.
So I'm like, whatever. And I always feel like it's like shopping in Vegas. I just feel like it's overpriced if you're at the casino.
Picture it. It's the year 2011.
Okay.
I'm at Heathrow International Airport in London.
All right.
I am a young girl. I'm studying abroad in London, right?
Okay.
And I'm flying home back to here, the United States of America.
Yes. And what is it that you spot inside the duty-free airport shop?
I paid $110 for a Gucci bag. I will never forget it. It was the proudest moment of my life. You don't get a Gucci bag for $110. I thought it was me.
What size bag is this?
It was a clutch, but it was $110. And that, for me, is why Heathrow International Airport will always be my number one.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jonathan and Emily. Jonathan, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
So Emily and I took a flight recently, and there was a little kerfuffle about the seating arrangement. So I'm a tall guy, and so I like the aisle seat so I can spread my legs out. I can stretch if I need to. I'm not getting in anybody's way, and it's just how I like it. And she took the middle seat. And then on the window seat was a mom, and her kids were on the other side. They were on the other section. And so she asked to switch with me, and I said no, because she reserved her seat. I reserved mine. That's the way it's working. It's the tall man's burden. I need my leg room. Otherwise, the flight is just a ruin for me. But Emily is still mad about it.
Emily, what happened?
He was wrong. He was just flat out wrong. I mean, this poor mom was leaning over us the whole time and trying to get to her kids, and he was just it was embarrassing.
Now, how tall are you?
6'4".
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way you can put that guy in a window seat. I mean, not for
thank
nothing.
Thank you.
I'm 5'10", and I basically hit my head anytime I move forward or backward in an airplane seat. I mean, it's very tight. And to ask you to be in the middle, too, is a lot. I mean, I get it. On the one hand, the first or second time the woman would have to reach over me to take care of her kids, I'm going to want her to sit in that seat. But at 6'4", I mean, there's no way he can go in a window seat. Honestly, why didn't you go to the window? And he go in the middle. I mean, even still, I would have hated that seat, too, that arrangement.
I wouldn't have taken that one either.
Yeah. That one's even worse. Like, nobody wants the middle seat. The middle seat is like the redheaded stepchild. It's well, terrible. I mean,
it's right, a terrible choice. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you made a decision that I'd feel proud about, but, I mean, I think that you made one of necessity. I mean, that's a tough circumstance.
You. Yes. Raise better kids. Like, just let them be more. They've got to be more, you know, self-reliant. This is how they learn it.
Well, I don't know if I'd be throwing darts, but I mean, at 6'4", you know, basically that thing where the air comes out is going to be putting a pockmark on his forehead. I mean, it's going to be on top of him.
Oh, my gosh.
I do feel bad for this lady. I mean, she's probably booked late. That was the one seat she had. She
was closest
terrible to the
process.
Kids. Yeah.
No doubt.
And she's got to keep getting up to reach over them, and she's got to take care of them.
Exactly.
Let's see what our audience has to say. Would you have given up the seat for the mom? You know, you may agree with Emily. Jonathan, you maybe suck it up just because you're a good human and you're doing your best to help out family. But you may see John's side, too. He was there. He booked that seat first, and that's his seat.
I mean, there's a reason he booked it. 1-800-330-9999. I'm curious to see what people say. Whose side are you on? It's a couples court with Anna and Raven.
Help settle a debate between Jonathan and Emily. They were recently on a flight together. Jonathan's a tall guy, 6'4", he says. He always books the aisle seat so he can kind of have his leg in the middle of the aisle. He can stretch out whenever he needs to. Well, Emily was right next to him in the middle, but there was a mom who was sitting at the window seat. She asked if he would switch seats with her so she could be closer to her children who were on the other side of the aisle. He said, nope. Yeah. And Emily basically had a heart attack. She's like, this poor mom, like, help her out. She's trying to take care of her kids.
Hey, Jonathan says, you know what? I selected my seats. I always select the aisle seat. I need the aisle seat. And I can tell you right now, if you've ever sat near a window, if you're 6'4", you're going to be folded up. There's no way that you can sit up in that seat if you're at the window if you're 6'4". I get it. It's an unpopular choice to make publicly. On the other hand, why didn't the mom reserve her own seat?
Well, sometimes it's just late in the game when you're choosing.
Well,
it's
so excuses for the mom. Because it's okay because she has kids, but no excuses for the guy who planned ahead.
I don't know. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Hi, I'm on the wife's side. I think he should have just sucked it up for the plane ride. And if the shoe was on the other foot and those were his children and the situation was different, I think he would want his wife to be closer, or he could be closer to his children. So I'm on the wife's side. He should have sucked it up.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Need your help to settle a debate. Jonathan and Emily were on a flight. Jonathan's a tall guy, 6'4", so whenever they book flights, he always picks the aisle seat. That's exactly what they did. Emily was in the middle. They get on the plane, and there was a mother who had the window seat in their aisle, and she asked Jonathan if he would switch with her because her kids were on the other side of the plane, and she wanted to be closer to them and be able to jump up and help them whenever she needed to. He said, nope.
Yeah, and Emily's upset. And was upset then, embarrassed then, and is still upset at this point right now. Listen, Jonathan didn't do it to be evil. He did it because he's 6'4". He did it because that's the seat that he needs on the plane, because he took the time to order the seat and have the seat. And you know something? That's like a whole ordeal to go through. So I'm not hanging up the mom for it. But on the other hand, like, the mom's got to understand you're going to need to ask somebody else probably.
Right, but then the whole time she's getting up, she's climbing over them. It's a thing every single time.
So I should break my neck so that it's convenient for this person who didn't care.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on his side. That woman knew when she took the seat assignment where she was going to be. She expected someone to switch with her.
Thank you for the call. I mean, I'm not making the assumption that that woman automatically, you know, had absence of mind and was like, somebody will give me their seat. You know, she could have been busy, not gotten to it. I've gotten on flights plenty of times and forgot to select my seats before. But at that point, I have nobody to blame but myself.
Well, one time I tried. I booked it and I called, and because like there were no seats that were together, yeah. And I was traveling with Hayden, who at the time was only 10 years old, and they said they had to keep us together. We got on the plane. They couldn't put us together.
Right.
And not for nothing, it was a very enjoyable ride.
That's the other side of it is, don't assume this woman is a saint just because she has children. I mean, that's the thing. Don't assume. She may have totally been like that person that was like, you know what? Somebody will give it up for me. I'm a mom.
Every 45 minutes, I would just peek my head back. Thumbs up. You good?
Right.
All right.
Great. Let me go back to my book. Right. And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
On the husband's side. I was just curious to where they couldn't switch with the kids, and he could have been in the aisle on the other side.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a flight attendant, sir, but I appreciate your follow-up question and your vote. Thanks, buddy.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
John's side. John is so right, because that woman booked that seat on that plane. She actually got on that plane knowing she was going to inconvenience someone and felt entitled to do that.
Ooh, mic
drop. She knew exactly what she was doing.
Mom is evil. I mean, it's a lot of assumptions.
But, first of all, I'm a mother. I would never book a plane with my child on the other side of a plane knowing I was going to get on a plane and inconvenience someone who had booked that seat already.
Well, we appreciate you and applaud your dignity. Thank you.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jonathan, our audience agreed with you today. You booked that seat for a purpose. You spent the money just like she did, and you had every right to keep your seat.
Thank you. Vindication!
I get, you know, listen, I feel bad for the mom in this case. Just hearing the story, not being there and witnessing it, I feel for her. Because, you know, nowadays they want to charge you for any sort of upgrade. Even if it's not a good seat, they want to charge you for an extra inch here or, you know, placement here or whatever. And it's difficult if you're traveling with four of you. It can get expensive. I understand that. On the other hand, you know, we don't know. Maybe she's not a saint. Maybe she booked those tickets long ago, never, you know, decided to select her seats or whatever. You paid extra. You were diligent about it. And there's a reason, because you're tall. I can't hang you up for that, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Emily, I guess you got to back off him, okay?
All right. I don't want to, but all right. I get it.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Deidre, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you call?
Sure. Good luck, Deidre.
All right, Deidre. We've got $2,100 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in. Ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, Kelly Clarkson won a court battle to keep her prenup in place as her divorce has turned contentious. She won what season of American Idol?
The first.
Number two, the Aretha Franklin movie Respect is only playing in theaters and stars Jennifer Hudson. Finish the last word to these lyrics to song Respect, okay?
Okay.
I'm about to give you all my money, and all I'm asking in return, honey, is to give me my what?
Proppers.
Number three, Jennifer Lopez deleted all the pictures of Alice Rodriguez on her Instagram account. Who is she currently dating again?
Ben Affleck.
Number four, Deborah Winger says she refused to act in A League of Their Own when they cast this singer to play center fielder Mae Morbido. That singer also turned 63 years old today. Who is it?
Madonna.
At number five, Olivia Wilde's real name is Olivia Cockburn. Reese Witherspoon's real first name is Laura Jean. And Eric Marlon Bishop is better known as who?
Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx?
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Deidre got all 5 right.
Wow.
Yep. This is a good one. Let's see.
Pretty impressive, Deidre.
Yeah. Now remember, he's got to get one wrong because a tie technically goes to him. But I got my money on. He doesn't know number 5. All right. Number one. Kelly Clarkson won a court battle to keep her prenup in place as her divorce has turned contentious. Mm. She won what season of American Idol?
She was the first winner.
Number two, the Aretha Franklin movie Respect is only playing in theaters and stars Jennifer Hudson. Finish the last word to these lyrics to the song Respect, okay? Mm. I'm about to give you all my money, and all I'm asking in return, honey, is to give me my...
Proppers. You've asked me that one before.
Yes. Number three, Jennifer
Lopez. It's
gotta
be your favorite lyric in that song or something.
Well, because people always think it's respect, right. And it's proppers, right? Number three, Jennifer Lopez deleted all the pictures of Alice Rodriguez on her Instagram account. Who is she currently dating again?
Ben Affleck.
Number four, Deborah Winger says she refused to act in A League of Their Own when they cast this singer to play center fielder Mae Morbido. That singer also turned 63 years old today. Who is it?
Oh, happy birthday, Madonna.
That is right. All comes down to number five. Olivia Wilde's real name is Olivia Cockburn. Reese Witherspoon's real first name is Laura Jean. And Eric Marlon Bishop is better known as who?
Wow. Eric Marlon Bishop. I'm going to take a shot and say, God, no, that's not him. Oh, I don't think I know. It's not The Weeknd. I'll guess it's The Weeknd.
No, it's Jamie Foxx.
Wow.
And just like that, Deandra, congratulations. You just won $2,100.
Wow.
Thank you.
I don't think you believe it. Yeah, $2,100 on a Monday. I'm calling
in
today.
Oh, my God. Thank you. It's Deidre, and I just beat Raven.
How did you know that, Deirdre? That is impressive.